Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And then just 4 days ago, an unfortunate ruling from the United States Supreme Court. It just came down. It came down. Very unfortunate ruling.
Four of them in front of him.
But the good news is that almost all countries and corporations want to keep the deal that they already made. Right, Scott? Knowing that the legal power that I, as president, have to make a new deal could be far worse for them. And therefore, they will continue to work along the same successful path that we had negotiated before the Supreme Court's unfortunate involvement. So despite the disappointing ruling, these powerful countries saving, it's saving our country, the kind of money we're taking in.
So here's the thing. First of all, it was a little bit odd that there were only four justices there. It was Elena Kagan and Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts. And he shook all of their hands, which is normal. But not more of them were there. I know Trump can't help being himself. And sometimes it's, you know, what I criticize him for is, you know, I wish he were somebody that's not him. And, you know, in some ways that's fair and in some ways that's not fair. But saying that the Supreme Court is the one who did this is not accurate. The Supreme Court did not involve themselves in his tariff program. The Supreme Court enforced the law. What he did was illegal. It is not justified under the AIPA statute. Congress is in control of these things, and Congress did not delegate the president the power to put tariffs in for any reason against any country under any circumstances to whatever degree he wants to. They just didn't. They've never granted that. So this is the president doing something not lawfully authorized, illegal, and the Supreme Court saying, yeah, it's not. It's not like they interfered. He went out of bounds. You know, if the guy catches the ball 3 feet out of bounds and the ref whistles it for an incomplete pass, you don't say the ref interfered with the pass completion. You say he was out of bounds and all the ref did was call the play. That's what the Supreme Court did. Now, they did it 6-3, but still, that's what they did. But the point that we talked about with Jimmy Patronis yesterday is valid, that still, even though they are illegal tariffs, they were used by him to negotiate deals. And to the degree those deals are good, the belief that they were done on the basis of the stick approach of the tariff, getting those deals done, if the deals were good and the countries still keep those deals because the president is wielding the threat of other sticks that are similar, you know, in a way, I mean, the outcome is good, but it's not just outcomes that matter. It's how you get there as well. And for the president to basically say, well, doesn't matter if the Supreme Court threw away all my tariffs, we got other ways we can do tariffs too. Again, do you believe that the executive, that the president has the power to do anything he wants, or do you believe the president has to operate within limits? Limited government is a core principle of being a conservative. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The president is not a conservative. You can still think he's a good president, but he's not a conservative. He doesn't believe in that concept of the rule of law. He believes that, you know, whatever he wants to do, he should be able to do. And if somebody stops him, he'll do it a different way. Like Biden, like Obama, you know, like Bush. I mean, a lot of other presidents have had this same chafing at the restraints that the Constitution imposes on them or that law imposes on them within the bounds of what the Constitution allows certain branches of the government to do. This is a congressional power, not a presidential power, for example. Other things from last night, the insider trading line was pretty good.
As we ensure that all Americans can profit from a rising stock market, let's also ensure that members of Congress cannot corruptly profit from using insider information.
Let's also say executives. I mean, same principle for everybody. And Supreme Court justices.
They stood up for that, I can't believe.
The Democrats.
I can't believe it. Did Nancy Pelosi stand up if she's here?
She's not there. She's been out of the House for a couple of years, but still, yeah, that's Anyway, we'll come back to this in a second because I thought some of the moments last night that I haven't even talked about yet were fantastic. John Pickens has traffic on the files. John?
Still dealing with that accident that happened on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Through that construction zone, also experiencing about a 9-minute delay to get through there. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to President Trump's State of the Union marathon. State of the Union address last night, an hour and 47 minutes. Crazy. That's a movie. I mean, that's a short movie. That's not like a, you know, Christopher Nolan movie. But that's 107 minutes is a long, long State of the Union. I mean, last year was 138 or something. I mean, it's about 10 minutes longer than last year's. The one thing I would say, though, and I've kind of said it throughout the morning, is the length was merited based on some of the things that were in there that did take a long time to do and cannot be done quickly. Yes, his line about Iran killing thousands of protesters, the highest estimate is 30. I don't think anybody's saying 32. But again, this is a fact without a distinction because the president's not a news reporter. And I've said this many times, he's a terrible news reporter. He says things that are false all the time, but they're not completely disconnected from truth. They're just exaggerations. And, you know, you decide whether you judge him on that or not. But certainly Iran is a terrible regime. And saying that we will do whatever it takes to prevent them from getting on the path towards having nukes. I prefer diplomacy, but no matter what, it's not going to happen. Good. Right. Yeah. I mean, Iran having a nuclear weapon literally is the beginning of nuclear war. Like, they want to destroy Israel in particular. And, you know, the philosophy is if we all die in the destruction of the infidels, we go straight to heaven. We get all the virgins. Allah loves us. So the normal deterrent effect of if you kill us, we kill you, holds no sway over not all Iranians, but over the most devoted of them, because the normal thing that, you know, Sting sang the song about the Russians and we hope the Russians love their children too, and they do. And, you know, Putin doesn't want to die, and Xi Jinping doesn't want to die. You know, and, like, people who have nukes right now, they don't want to die. And so nuclear deterrence is predicated on that. Well, guess what? The Iranians, at least the scary ones, don't care if they die. In fact, dying is better. Dying in jihad, killing the infidel, is the best way to win, is why they cannot have nuclear weapons. Anyway, so that's all other stuff. The reunification of the woman with her uncle who had been imprisoned in Venezuela as a political prisoner, great moment. Lots of these sort of, you know, wonderful moments. And somebody had mentioned to me last hour that I had done a disservice to the Coast Guard by omitting the Legion of Merit honor. And you're right, I had forgotten about that one entirely. And I think at the time when he did that, this is in the Texas flooding, I had not realized yet that it was going to be the Trump Awards show. And I don't mean that as condescending. I mean, that's just what it was. It was an award show in the best possible way.
Even in times of challenge, setback, and immense heartache, the spirit of 1776 has always shone through very brightly. It was July 4th of last year when floodwaters tore through a girls' summer camp in Central Texas, one of the worst things I've ever seen. I was there, rising 26 feet in the matter of minutes, tragically claiming many, many lives. You all remember that one. As the waters threatened to sweep her away, 11-year-old Millie Kate McClaymont closed her eyes and prayed to God. She thought she was going to die. Those prayers were answered when Coast Guard rescue swimmer Scott Ruskin descended from a helicopter above. Nobody knew where he came from. It was Scott's first ever rescue mission, a young guy, but very brave, very, very top, always top in his class. And he lifted not just Millie Kate, but 164 others to safety.
Absolutely. And the person who mentioned it to me said that part of the reason this was so important was because Coast Guard is often neglected, overlooked, you know, as a branch of the military. And so seeing a Coast Guard rescue swimmer being honored in this way.
People watched Scott from a distance, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. The winds were blowing, the rain was pouring, everything was going, and that rapid water, nobody's ever seen anything like it. They said, wow, that's something. Tonight, Scott and Millie Kate are here together, reunited for the very first time. Thank you, Scott, Millie Kate.
And not just reunited, but specifically honored.
And Petty Officer Ruskin, I'm pleased to inform you that I am now awarding you the Legion of Merit for extraordinary heroism, which is what it was, extraordinary heroism. Thank you.
Unbelievable. And again, this is why I say what he was doing last night was not laying out a bunch of policies, although there were some, okay? He was not just talking about accomplishments, although obviously did a lot of that, especially with the economy, and a lot of that was exaggeration, okay? He was not just offering a chance for the Democrats to embarrass themselves, which they surely embrace full on. Somebody says, why don't you talk about the immigration one? I've talked about it a bunch already. Got to listen to the other hours. But yes, of course, he gave them a chance to embarrass themselves, and they did. Repeatedly. And not just Al Green, but lots of them. But to me, the real, like, the yes kind of moments from last night were the honoring of these American heroes, honoring of, and it's not in the same category, okay, but the, you know, hockey men winning gold, you know, I mean, the goalie, he didn't mention the losing teeth, I don't remember him mentioning that, but that's a, you know, it's a small sacrifice in the grand scheme of things. The pilot who was got shot 4 times in the Chinook going to get Maduro out of Venezuela, the rescue swimmer, as you just heard, the Purple Heart for the guardsman that got shot. All amazing. The one that I was the most excited to hear him say is one that I had kind of prepped on, but I had never had a chance to share with you. And that's the story of Royce Williams that has never been told publicly until fairly recently.
Navy fighter pilot Royce Williams served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, flying more than 220 missions. In the skies over Korea in 1952, Royce was in the dogfight of a lifetime, legendary dogfight, flying through blizzard conditions. His squadron was ambushed by 7 Soviet fighter planes. It was his first aerial combat of the war, and despite being massively outnumbered and outgunned, Royce led the takedown of 4 enemy jets and almost destroyed the others, vanquishing his adversaries while taking 263 bullets to his own plane and being seriously hurt. His story was secret for over 50 years. He didn't even want to tell his wife, but the legend grew and grew. But tonight, at 100 years old, this brave Navy captain is finally getting the recognition he deserves. He was a legend long before this evening. Royce, please stand up, and I will ask the First Lady of the United States to present Captain Royce Williams with his Congressional Medal of Honor.
Unbelievable. And he had had, I think it was a Silver Star, maybe, or Navy. It was a Navy Cross. Yeah, he had a Navy Cross and got upgraded to the Medal of Honor. And I thought to myself, well, are they going to do the reading of the announcements as they always do, the citation? Probably these 2 Medal of Honor awards, especially from Melania Trump at the State of the Union address, anything else would be anticlimactic. That was pretty amazing. And by the way, this story, he's flying a Grumman F-9F-5 with 3 other pilots, and they encounter Soviets over the Japan Sea in 1952 during the Korean War, when we're not really trying to get into a war with the Soviets. And so 7 MiG-15s. The MiG-15 is that swept-wing silver plane with the giant air intake on the front that you've seen flying at the homecoming air show and other places, just real fast in one direction or another. Not the most maneuverable thing, but faster than the Panther. Anyway, so he's flying a Panther. 2 of the planes have to bail immediately because they don't have the ability to keep up. He shot one quick. Over the course of time, his other wingman had to abandon and go back to home base. So he's now fighting 6 on his own. And he manages to shoot down 2 and then fatally wound a 3rd that went down eventually. And he has to go back because he runs out of ammunition. He gets back to base, and his plane had been shot 263 times. Bro. and then he goes back out on other missions, right? I mean, you know, because that's what you do. So pretty amazing story. And to get that upgraded in 2022, it got upgraded from a Silver Star to a Navy Cross by Del Toro. And now it's been upgraded to the Medal of Honor. So, again, great moment. And I think if what you were trying to do was remind Americans of what America does, is who we are, what we care about, what we're passionate about, what makes us who we are. I mean, mission accomplished. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. New affordable housing, resort-style living. One-bedroom apartment starting at $799 per month. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. We're back to rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorneys' fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Tomorrow at 9:30, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. Executive Director Bruce Cady and partner agency Waterfront Mission will share information about the impactful work they perform every day while serving the homeless in our community. Opening Doors is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Don't miss Pep Talk tomorrow at 9:30 with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, sponsored by Tell Staffing and HR, empowering you to get back to business.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Runners Association presents the Bay to Breakfast Trail Run Saturday morning. Enjoy the beauty and challenge of an 8K trail run and breakfast after the run. See runsignup.com. Friday through Sunday, check out the Pensacola Dog Fanciers annual dog show at the Escambia County Equestrian Center. Enjoy the show, displays, and the health clinic. See PensacolaDogs.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You ever hear something in the news and think, that can't be real? MVR breaks it down weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
It's adorable. So fetch. What is fetch?
Oh, it's like slang from England.
By the way, John, I haven't said it, I don't think, yet this morning. Maybe I did, but what time did I predict I'd get to bed last night after, you know, going to the PACE Awards and then going home and watching the show and cutting up the show and State of the Union address?
You definitely said after midnight, so I'm going to say 1.
Yeah, I got to bed, like, I mean, I was actually done, and I just didn't even bother. I watched, like, half of the Democratic response. I thought, this is not even worth watching. it was so silly. I got done cutting audio at midnight.
Wow.
And then watched a little TV with my wife till 12:30 and then passed out.
And then you were here by 5.
I was.
So proud of you.
Up at 4, ready to go. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, you know,
all
no
perky
big deal,
and
whatever.
Everything.
All right,
even showered.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The government shutdown continuing. Senate Democrats are blocking funding for the Department of Homeland Security still. Tuesday's vote to advance a spending bill was 50-45, but did not hit the 60 votes that was needed to advance. $1 million now being offered by the family of Nancy Guthrie as the search continues in Arizona for her. Savannah Guthrie posting a video on social media saying somebody knows how to find her mother. The 84-year-old's now been missing since February 1st. And big news in Mexico, the U.S. no longer urging Americans there to shelter in place. That warning had been issued after violence erupted following the killing of a cartel boss by Mexican authorities. The State Department now says public transportation and businesses are returning to normal.
All right, so it's perfectly fine to go to
perfectly
Puerto Vallarta
safe.
Again.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
No.
No safer place to be in Puerto Vallarta.
Have you been to PV?
I have not. It's a place I think I'd
there.
Like to go.
Were you?
Yeah.
It was a reward when I sold books door-to-door that one summer in Cheyenne for the Southwestern Company. That's a whole story. but, you know, well, worst job I ever had. But great job. Anyway, you learn a lot about yourself. But the reward for doing well was we went to PV for a week. And that was a blast, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to reconcile what I remember of that with, like, bombs and cars and fires and shootings and, you know, hey, Mexico. But,
olé.
You know, they're trying. They're mm-hmm. trying to clean up the country. That's going to be a process because, you know, the tendrils and tentacles of the cartels are all over that country, unfortunately.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump brought down the House after declaring the State of the Union is
bigger, better, richer, and stronger than ever before.
And shaming the Democrats who stayed down for this statement.
If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens.
Democrats Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib shouted at the president, saying, "You're killing Americans." He outlined plans for affordable energy and beef and celebrated American heroes, including wounded veterans and the gold medal winning men's USA hockey team. The president said he prefers diplomacy ahead of crucial Geneva talks with Iran. Iran's foreign minister says a nuclear deal to avert conflict with the U.S. is within reach. Talks tomorrow. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got a nice start to our morning. Right now it's partly cloudy, 58 degrees. Here across the area. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. Well, last night, a big night for the Pensacola Chamber of Commerce, holding the 66th annual PACE Awards last night at the Pensacola Beach Hilton. Casey Gartman from Baptist Healthcare named the Community Leader of the Year.
I am so honored. Our community is a phenomenal place. I'm just grateful that I've had the opportunity to serve our community in a variety of capacities, and this is definitely a testament to the organizations that really do the work every day that make our community a wonderful place.
And Rick Byers from Florida Power and Light, winning Business Leader of the Year. Sheriff Chip Simmons receiving the Pioneer Award last night. Louis Baer III getting the Spirit of Pensacola Award. Well, Santa Rosa County Commissioners authorizing formal negotiations this week with NAS Whiting Field on a potential land exchange that could take 3 to 5 years to complete. Randy Roy from NAS Whiting Field, or from Whiting Field, saying that the process would be similar to Escambia County's Site X project.
That roundabout answer is to tell you the time frame from this is we're hoping to get this done within the next 3 to 4 years, 3 to 5 years. So it gives you that economic growth you're looking for and the opportunities you're looking for. We're always looking for collaboratives. I'm going to say it again, Santa Rosa County, you are the best. And this is a collaborative. You are the gold standard in community outreach and the way that we do things with the military and protecting and enhancing our military mission.
And officials said that the proposal is for recreation and high industrial property only, not for residential development. The Navy would need approvals all the way up to the Assistant Secretary of the Navy. It's the first official requests. There have been some earlier preliminary discussions. A convicted killer is dead after being executed last night at the Florida State Prison. Melvin Trotter died by lethal injection at 6:15 last night. The 65-year-old was put to death for killing a 70-year-old woman during a robbery at a grocery store in 1986. It was Florida's second execution of 2026. The third is set for next week. Santa Rosa County Commissioners will vote tomorrow on the East Milton Master Plan. After 3 years of development, John Simoniak told commissioners on Monday that the plan shows 85% homeownership in East Milton and 100% in the Herald area, and saying that the plan addresses multimodal transportation corridors and septic to sewer decisions, but did not mention wildfire risk. That item was moved to Thursday's regular agenda. It's 8:35 here, News Radio 92.3, and let's check in with John Pickens, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free, also incident-free and delay-free. So that's good job on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have partly cloudy skies today with temperatures much warmer by the afternoon, 71 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For Thursday, partly sunny skies, 40% chance of some showers, high near 74. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Heading into Friday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, high near 72 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 55. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 58 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 9 o'clock. And breaking news anytime it happens. Your money now this morning. Markets are up. The Dow is up just under 0.5% at 49,370 and a quarter points. The S&P is up 0.5% at 6,925. The NASDAQ up about 0.7% right now, 23,024 and three quarter points. The 10-year bond rate is up a bit, 4.05% this morning. Gold price is up $2,390, $5,220. Silver price is up $3 at $90.51. And Bitcoin up almost $1,900 right now at $66,344. NVIDIA investors are preparing for a key earning report today. Shares of the chip giant are up 2% year-to-date, more than 7% over the past 6 months. Still, Wall Street has raised red flags over AI spending, which NVIDIA does a lot of. NVIDIA has been the outlier, though, as it's the only one of the $8 trillion tech companies to post gains for the first 2 months of the year. Warner Brothers Discovery says Paramount's latest takeover offer might be preferable to the one with Netflix. The latest offer would raise the purchase price at around $77 billion and reimburse the company for canceling the Netflix deal. Warner Brothers currently has a deal in place with Netflix for its studio and streaming business. In a statement, the company said that the merger agreement remains in effect, but they will review Paramount's bid with its financial and legal advisors. It's 8:37. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Raise your glass as Wine on the Water, the Grand Tasting, returns to Wahoo Stadium on Saturday, March 7th. Enjoy fine wines, craft beers, and gourmet bites from Pensacola's top chefs, all set against the stunning backdrop of Pensacola Bay. Don't miss live entertainment and a croquet and rosé tournament, plus breathtaking sailing. Get your tickets now at givesacredheart.org. That's givesacredheart.org.
You don't need someone yelling at you. You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, so I don't know what got me thinking about this, but here's my theory. My theory is that the reason kids these days, young adults these days, are so easily stressed and triggered by everything is because they didn't get stressed and triggered enough as kids. they got sheltered from stress and frustration and irritation and being scared, and because of that, they're now very easily scared. It's kind of like how if you don't expose a kid to microbes, their immune system doesn't build up, and then they're just disease-prone their whole life. My theory is this. Gen X kids in particular, might even be older, but also Gen X in particular, we played a lot of games as kids that are high-stress, pain-inducing games that make you learn how to manage stress and handle it well. So here's my question for the day. 437-1620, 437-1620. Tell me the game that stressed you out as a kid. Okay, tell me the one that, you know, like, when you think about it. But then if you also think about it, like, you know, that probably taught me how to handle it. Okay, so games that involved some pain, whether it's sounds or physical pain or anxiety in the doing of the game, that's what I'm looking for. 437-1620, 437-1620. And also, I'm going to put all video games out of play because video games are largely, almost entirely predicated on stress, right? So, you know, Pac-Man is stressful, Defender is stressful, Robotron is stressful, Call of Duty is stressful. I mean, all Mario Kart is stressful. Rainbow Road stresses everybody out. Everybody out, okay? So, obviously, video games are inherently stressful. It's not that they don't count. I'm just kind of leaving them out of the... I'm thinking about things in the real world instead of that. So I know, John, does that disappoint you? Was that your one?
No.
Okay, good.
Right. I was just
What do you got as your example? 437-1620. What's your game that kids played or we played that stressed you out and taught you how to handle stress?
Well, that game Operation.
It takes a steady hand because if you touch the side...
See, it brought back memories, didn't it?
It gives you the jitters.
And
you think about
red nose.
You're sweating and you're trying to pick the little bone from out of the hole and it's got some crazy name on it or whatever.
Yes.
Didn't they sanitize that a few years back? They changed some of the names on those things to where, I mean, it probably doesn't even make a sound anymore.
It probably just plays a gentle tune.
You messed up.
Please try again.
You played in a non-standard way. You know, I might be able to make a Transgressors out of this entirely. If all the games of our youth were turned into, you know, modern games, that'd be fun. This, if you don't know, Transgressors is this satire thing I do on Fridays. I play a woke pastor commenting on all the things we lost this week that got canceled. So 6:20 is the early service. 8:20 is the late service. It's like a church service. Anyway, okay, so Operation is a very good one. 437-1620, what are some of the other games that stressed you out as a kid that, you know, made you learn? I think my theory is it made you learn how to handle stress. And I have grabbed a bunch of sound effects. I think I've got enough of them to make this work right. First text from one of our favorite people, Candy, who's listening. And she said, here, I'm going to play it for you and you'll see. Do you remember Perfection? Where you set the timer, and then the trick is to put all the pieces back in before they pop up on you.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's an excellent answer for this question. 437-1620. Somebody says, BB gun wars before we had paintball, before we even had airsoft.
Ouch.
Now, BBs, I mean, you'll shoot your eye with that. But that'll leave a mark, you know. But, yeah okay. Somebody else says the game was called BB Gun War in the Woods, and it was very, very stressful. Yes. Oh, now this is a little different than what I had in mind, but it's okay. Karate tournaments, you know, being worried about what part of your body is going to get kicked.
Going to get nailed.
That part of the day. No, fair enough. Oh, yeah. Perfection. Somebody else votes for perfection. 4-3-7, 16-20. Oh, Smear the Queer was the game we played. Which was basically tackle tag, right? It was basically you try to catch somebody and then knock them down. And, you didn't really beat them up, but it's basically tackle without a football. It's like football without a football, right? You can't say that anymore. Whatever. I took a queer studies class from one of the preeminent scholars on gay theory in college. I can say the words. They're still decent words. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that every Florida West project is evaluated on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers? Let's see here. We got an accident that just popped up on Davis Highway and Creighton Road. Again, you definitely want to avoid that area. You're starting to see some delays in both Davis and Creighton. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the question of the day, the text 437-1620. What was a game as a kid that you played? And again, I'm ruling out video games because I think they all qualify, that stressed you out and that you had to learn to manage stress as a result of that. And probably it's why, you know, kids these days they're triggered by everything and they're anxious about everything because they never had to do the things that overcome anxiety and stress and, you know, all that. So, you know, like calling somebody's house and having to talk to some girl's dad before he'd let you talk to his daughter on the phone. Like, that's stressful. You know, those are the things.
Past experience for you?
No, I'm for sure. Okay. Let's see. Somebody says here, figuring out how to play Legend of Zelda. Absolutely. Legend of Zelda. I mean, oh my God, any of the Nintendo games, but what was Atari 2600, Intellivision, all of these video games, all Pong, every video game is stressful. I don't think they're, what is a not Minecraft? Well, no, you got the, you know,
no, you
they're coming for
it.
You, right? Unless you're in creator mode or whatever. Let's see. Oh, somebody says dodgeball is obviously a good answer here. No, I would completely agree with that.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Somebody says the game Sorry because it was entirely luck. Oh, yeah. You know, that's interesting. There are some games that are not like anxiety stressful with noise and sound effects and time, you know, issues. But Aggravation, Sorry, Payday is kind of in this. Not Payday. That's not the one I'm thinking of. Bonkers is kind of in this category. Board games where people are always knocking you off or pushing you back or ruining your, you know, chutes and ladders. Oh, no. Oh, yay. Oh, no. You know, back and forth. They're all, to some degree, stressful. Like Battleship is not time stress, but it's still like, are they going to sink my stuff before I sink their stuff? Where's your PT boat? Let's see. The
you
game.
You my Battleship.
Sorry. Oh, Trouble was the one with the little clicker dice thing in the middle. That was Trouble. That, like, the sound effect was of that would gives me the jitters. Somebody said the Game of Life. Oh, yeah. Because the spinner.
Yep.
They were designed this way. I mean, this is a Facebook for our generation. It was designed to stress you out, but then that makes it fun, and then you learn how to handle stress, and then the rest of your life when people are yelling at you, it doesn't really bother you anymore. Somebody's honking their horn. Like, ah, hey, how you doing, neighbor? Show me more fingers. Okay. Dodgeball, getting hit hard and not crying so that the other kids won't make fun of me, made it where later in life I could keep it together when things fall apart. Exactly. They're good for learning anger management, these games. Oh, Red Rover. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's true.
Send little Andrew right over. Andrew's like, all right, I'm going.
Yeah, but I could run fast.
Oh, okay.
Kerplunk. Oh, that's a good one. That's with the little, you're sticking, that's the one where you're sticking the little needles in or pulling the needles out that has the marbles and then the things are falling. In the cylinder. Yeah, no, that's a good one. Anything related to PE class. And again, dodgeball. I don't know what that one is. Again, another dodgeball. Oh, this is now. See, I love it when the audience, when you guys come up with ones that I think are really like the great games.
Uh-huh.
Simon, yes. Super stressful. Mm-hmm. Great game. Wonderful game for memory. Also, a little bit like Venkman, you know, shocking the dude in Ghostbusters. Like, it's a little negative feedback for you. I love it. Spin the bottle, kissing the weird girl or guy. That's kind of funny. We didn't play that game. We definitely didn't play that game. Lawn darts or jarts? Stressful in a whole different way. Lawn dart? You didn't play lawn darts?
I mean, we called it lawn darts, but I've never...
Lawn dart. You never heard it called jarts?
No.
That's where you throw a spear up in the air and everybody hopes it doesn't land on their head.
Okay, yeah, no. I don't know that one.
You don't know lawn darts?
No.
What year were you born?
I thought it was...
What year were you born?
74.
It's where you're throwing the little red and the blue darts at the circles on the ground and trying to...
Oh, okay, never mind.
But they would definitely kill you if you did it wrong.
You were just throwing them up in the air, and I'm like, well, no, I never did that.
I mean, we may not have played it always according to the rules. You know they make that now, and it's like safety darts. They land on a little half-circle, soft, beanbaggy kind of thing, and then they kind of wobble around. You'd have to wing it at somebody to hurt them. You'd really have to try hard. There's completely sanitary. No point. I mean, what next? Swing sets that always don't break off, you know, that nothing breaks on them ever? What are you going to learn from that? How about a nice game of chess? Thank you. Well done. Good war games reference and just chess in general. Monkey bar wars. Learning to talk to girls. Let's see. What do we got here? Yeah, Simon is definitely an answer. Chess with a timer. Oh, that's a good one when you add it. Playing slapjack with the hands. Are you allowed to play that in school today? I mean, I don't think so.
I think it's touching and you're not allowed to touch another person.
You got to learn to handle pain and stress and anxiety.
That's not how they think about that. Nowadays.
Red Rover, Axis and Ally. Oh, why would that be? Oh, because so much stress over time. Oh, that's fair. Mm-hmm. You know, when you invest 2 or 3 hours in a game, it's going to be stressful. I agree with that. I can't make out this picture. Oh, yes. Mousetrap. Mousetrap is definitely a good example of this. The stress there is of, will it work? But also, how do you win? Let's see. Dutch Bliss card game. I don't know that. Oh, Jenga. Okay.
Oh, I get stressed out just watching people do it.
All right. I can see Jenga fall in this category. Dungeons and Dragons. Interesting. Simon was traumatic. Football in a cow pasture. Oh, well, this is kind of the video games with the handheld football, you know?
Yes.
The Temco? Who's the... I can't remember it now. Pencil Break. Do you know what that is? I don't reckon...
Oh, my gosh. You don't know what Pencil Break is?
Is it a game or is it a play? A game you play with pencils or a game you like bought?
Yes, you play with pencils. Like one dude holds it like this and the other smacks it and tries to break the pencil.
I was never rich enough to own so many pencils.
Oh.
Must have been nice coming from the mansions. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Let's see. Do I have all the ones? Oh, this is kind of an obscure one a little bit, but you'll remember it. The...
Ganipkanap.
With the balls that go back and forth in the little hoops from side to side inside the plastic enclosure.
Oh, yeah.
You can even do the... What's the little game with the water was inside the game and you had to jet air at it and put the basketball through the hoop or the fish in the thing? You know, those little kind of tabletop-y games with the water stuff to them? Let's see. Oh, here's a great one for just general stress level. Don't break the ice. The sound, the fear, the what's going to happen to me. Now, I know this one is probably not an everyone, but if you know it, you'll know that one of the absolute most stressful games you ever played as a kid.
I threw away my own color.
Cat's Eye was one of my favorite games as a kid. It's a game where you have 4 boards with a cat dimples for the marbles that are colored to your one, and you have to press a little lever that dispenses marbles into your side, and if you get the wrong color, you got to put it back in the bin, and you're always... It's noise, it's stress, it's fast pace. I used to play that all the time. We were doing... I had a Bible study in my home with a bunch of like college kids for a while, and we used to play that game with them, and they loved it. We almost got broken arms with that game. Oh, spoons. Spoons is stressful. We play that still. That's a like game people come over to our house to play. Okay. All right, I think we're done here. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. But so how many games did we play as kids that were super fun, super anxious, stressful, kinesthetically, auditorily, visually, and, you know, taught us how to handle that stuff, I think. I mean, that's my theory, and I'm sticking with it. I'm Andrew McKay. All right. What else do we have going on here? If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're really good at this. And, you know, one of the things, this actually surprised me when I heard her talking about it, because I would have never thought of it. She said, even if you're buying a new home, like you're building a home, it's good to have a real estate agent because, number one, we know the industry. We know what the deals are. We know what they will and will not agree to. And we can tell you, hey, they will do this, or no, they are not going to say yes to that. Or we can try, you know. But also, so on the front end, you get a great deal. On the back end, she'll make sure that you get the house you ordered, you know. So she'll walk through it with the blue tape and be like, nope, 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 can't do that. Because a lot of times, especially if it's a first time, but you don't know what you can complain about and you don't want to be a jerk and you feel like it's rude. It's not rude, but that's why she's there. Also, you know, you might think something's wrong. If you're like, no, that's normal. It's fine. No big deal. Having an expert in real estate on your side is always valuable, even when buying a new home. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just still dealing with that one accident on Davis Highway and Creighton Road. It's off to the side of the road, and I'm not seeing any delays associated with it. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, two more in the category just before we go to the break. Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Oh, yes. That was stressful.
And do you remember the Jaws game where you're trying to pluck the items out of the Jaws mouth before the rubber band snaps the teeth closed on your little grabber?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Good times.
Oh, no. My drain is clogged.
Drain All is your one-stop shop for all your drain cleaning needs in the Pensacola area.
It's not going down.
From stubborn clogs to serious sewer line issues, they've got you covered. They offer camera inspections to find the problem fast, sewer line cleaning to keep everything flowing, powerful hydro jetting services, and routine maintenance to prevent costly backups before they happen. Trustworthy, dependable, honest. Don't wait for a disaster. Call Drain All today.
What's their number?
850-977-3215 and get your drains flowing again.
Thanks.
Are you 50 or older? This news is for you. The CDC recommends you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at risk. People 50 or older are over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults 18 to 49. Just one shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Man, it's just so much great music. That's one of the things I love about the show is being able to just, you know, enjoy some good music in the morning. That's The Animals, by the way, if you're not familiar with it. Hey, Jip. 8:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Possibly one of the most entertaining stories of the day. It's a little one, but we like it. there was a fire in the North End in a chicken coop. So there was a chicken coop fire. And no, don't get so worried about it, Meg. Don't be too worried. I wouldn't tell you a bad story to end the show, at least not today. And so the chicken on Highway 99, 5600 block, near the 4-H facility, there was an afternoon fire, 1240 p.m. The ECFR was called to this on Thursday. A chicken turns out to be responsible for the fire in the chicken coop, which spread to numerous bales of hay, creating thick smoke and destroyed the chicken coop. What happened? the chicken knocked over the space heater, I guess, that they had in the chicken. Because, you know, chickens are pesky. So he pecked, knocked it over, kicked it over. I don't know exactly what he was doing, you know, some practical joke or something, whatever. But no poultry was harmed in the fire, although approximately 20 hay bales were lost in the fire, and the chicken coop was also destroyed. Molino Station 18 responded to the fire. So based on all the information that I've gained from this story and reading it on NorthOfScammy.com is, number one, they do not believe any foul play was involved.
And
I'm guessing those chicken wings were extra hot.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923. WNRP Golf Free.